From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. Comics are a narrative art form. Words and pictures combine to create a story. They can be as small as a one-panel cartoon in the newspaper and as big as what are now known as graphic novels. Art Spiegelman began his career in comic books during the 1960s. His groundbreaking graphic novels, Mouse 1 and 2, based on his parents' experiences as concentration camp survivors, earned Spiegelman the Pulitzer Prize in 1992. He and his wife, Françoise Mouly, have been editing a series of cartoon stories called Little Lit. The first, Folklore and Fairy Tale Funnies, was published in 2000. The second, Strange Stories for Strange Kids, came out in 2001. And the third, It Was a Dark and Silly Night, has just been published. Art Spiegelman is in the studio. How nice it is to meet you.
Oh, pleasure to meet you as well.
Now, first of all, explain the premise of these Little Lit series. You actually approach writers and artists with the idea?
Yes. We approached some of the best comics artists we knew. I used to do a comics magazine with Françoise called Raw, which was a comics magazine for grown-ups that Mouz started in. So we were in touch with a lot of cartoonists, obviously. And we also approached very well-known children's book artists and novelists, saying, okay, here's the deal. We want to make comics for kids that you can read and reread.
The first one was Fairy Tales, so it's kind of a given. I mean, let's transform some fairy tales. The second was a little bit more adventurous in creating strange stories. This is based on that old cliche, it was a dark and stormy night.
Yeah, I think, you know, we keep trying to figure out what we're going to do based on what we've done and trying to see where it ought to go next. And here, although the books have done very well and have found a receptive audience, we felt it would be easier if people understood where all the stories were coming from. The strange stories for strange kids felt like a, wow, there's a lot being jammed in, but it ranged from Maurice Sendak to Paul Auster and David Sedaris. It was quite a wide net that we had cast. Here we figured if we made everybody start from the same place, if everybody started their story with the phrase, it was a dark and silly night, wherever they took it, it would all feel like variations on a theme. And therefore, one of the things that the book actually offers is, what does it mean to tell a story? You know, if everybody starts from the same place and still manages to create a totally different world from everybody else, they have that as a common denominator. It really is somehow about storytelling itself.
The book opens, I mean, you open up that front cover, and it's work by Martin Hanford, and Martin Hanford is known for his diabolical, but fun, Where's Waldo series, and it was a dark and silly night, and it's like a block full of monsters,
creatures, all kinds of strange things happening at night, where you end up having to find the characters who are in the stories inside. So that if you go to the contents page, you see like the contents page is built with a character from each story for you to identify what's what, and those characters are all hidden both on the inside front and the back end paper, which was called It Was a Bright and Silly Morning, showing the same creatures but the next day. But amongst them all are the characters from the other stories.
I do love the games that are in here. There's one where the panels are out of order, and what you're asking is the kid and the parent to put the story in order so that
That's
the
right.
thing is
yeah,
going
Tony
to make
sense. Page.
Tony Millionaire. Yeah, this is great because it's a book, but it's interactive in a way.
Well, it seems like part of the pleasure of the comics that I had when I was a kid is they always, like the old Dell comic books that I read when I was little, always used to have these puzzle and game pages. So to me, it just seems intrinsic. I know it's not, but it seems intrinsic to comics. I don't understand, in fact, now when one picks up a graphic novel, how come there aren't puzzles in the middle?
No, there's also spot the differences, you mm-hmm. know, one picture
right.
and another. One example that is just delightful, and it's two people who are well known even outside, I think, the comic novel world and the comics world. It's one that's done by Neil Gaiman, who's very famous for doing the Sandman series, and Gayon Wilson, whose cartoons appear in The New Yorker, in Playboy, for a long time, and he's always been famous for, I always remember his characters always seem to drip or melt. They're green, and there's always, you know, something liquid.
Something off about the sensibility that makes him kind of the inheritor of the Charles Adams tradition.
Exactly. Had Neil Gaiman and Gayon Wilson ever worked together before?
Actually, it was Neil's idea, because they wanted to work together, and this seemed like, that's the perfect place. We can do it here.
Tell us the story that Neil and Gayon
Oh, it's about some little kids who want to have a birthday party and are forbidden from having it at home because too much Jell-O got thrown last time. And the kids decide to have the party in a graveyard. And the noise and music that they make in the graveyard wakes the dead who come and join the party. And a great time is had by both the corpses and the kids before they return home at dawn.
And the corpses are that, again, wonderful green with the one eye, and they play cool games like Blind Corpses Bluff. And this is something that kids, I mean, sometimes parents can go, ew, but the kids
it's
really
love it. It's all handled so benignly. These are all within that world of the safety zone that's outside the world of Freddy and Jason movies.
Did the authors and the artists that you approach accept readily the idea, or did you have to convince them?
Oh, no, everybody we know is clamoring to get in. This is fun. I mean, I don't want to sound too dopely missionary-like, but it really seems important to preserve literacy in this planet. It just seemed like an important enough thing to do, to make comics that would be of a high enough quality to be worth hanging out with and putting as much of it as we could stuff between covers.
Is it true you learned to read from comic books?
Absolutely.
Really?
I was trying to figure out if Batman was a good guy or a bad guy, and it was just mysterious. From the drawing, I couldn't tell when I was 5 years old or four and a half.
Oh.
And similarly, my wife learned to read in France from Tintin and Asterix and Pilote magazine.
So your job is actually to help create something that both the kids and the adults are going to enjoy, because usually kids like things to be read over and over and over again. And for parents, that can get...
That was part of the reason for doing this, that as in a way that is more sophisticated than certain kinds of kid books. Like, I remember, like, when my son Dash kind of got interested in Thomas the Tank Engine as a book. After the second reading, I just had to find a place to hide the book where it would never be found again.
What exactly, then, is your job as editor of this book?
Oh, gee, it's Francoise and I do it together. Francoise is better at dealing with people than I am, so that she's the one who kind of helps the course corrections and navigations to get the story and picture to sit together really well, to get the story as tight as possible after we discuss what the needs of that particular piece are. And then it's a matter of orchestrating the whole thing so that it sits together properly, so that there's not too much of an overlap of what kinds of stories one would have in a given thing, where all stories are starting with "it was a dark and silly night," but you don't want them to be dark and silly the same way. What mix of artists would be the most exciting to, like, turn from page to page and find in a book like this, and so on.
You also had in the first one, I mean, Walt Kelly, who did Pogo. And
well, each book we try to, like, take something worth salvaging from the treasure chest of the past as well. So in the second one, we had a Barnaby story by Crockett Johnson, who's better known now probably for his Harold and the Purple Crayon books. And in this new one, there's one of my favorite cartoonists when I was, like, rummaging around the old mats and stuff, a guy named Basil Wolverton, who did very grotesque, strange creatures. And I think Robert Crumb's drawing, like, owes a lot to Basil Wolverton.
Which one is Basil Wolverton's story?
Oh, Basil Wolverton has a story that we reprinted from an old late 40s, early 50s comic character called Jumping Jupiter, who has ears that help him fly from planet to planet. He meets some kind of unpleasant dictator who's forbidden people to laugh on some alien planet, and eventually gets things to work out better by the end.
They're so pretty. I mean, I must say the colors are just so saturated in here. Very, very exciting sort of stuff.
And we managed to convince William Joyce, who's, like, doing these wonderful kid books on his own, to do a comic story where I love the coloring, because he made it look like it was from a turn-of-the-century, last century's comics page.
Well, it's the crime-fighting boy Buckaroo here. And but it does very much look like that cross-hatching that you would find in some of the Nemo.
That's right, exactly what he was thinking of when he did that. So basically here it was like... somebody has a silly ray that saves the world from warrior florists in the story by William Joyce. And we did manage to get Lemony Snicket, who does the Baudelaire Kids series of Unfortunate Events books that are very popular now, to team up with an artist who just seemed like a perfect match in sensibility. So they did A Dark and Silly Night about a Yeti, where it says, in this case, silly stands for somewhat intelligent, largely laconic Yeti. And then it explains those words and phrases in the course of the page as the story starts. Oh.
So will there be another in this series?
Yeah, we don't know the theme, but we're still going to make comics for kids.
Art Spiegelman, he and his wife, Francoise Mouly, are the editors of the Little Lit Collection. The newest one is called It Was a Dark and Silly Night. Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thanks, Lan. Thanks for having me.
For more information about Art Spiegelman and Little Lit, visit our website at npr.org.